141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big midweek of European action. Brendan Rodgers is hoping to harness the power of Celtic Park and move Celtic on to 10 Champions League points and playoff progression. Rangers are ready to try and put domestic woes to one side as they head to Nice on Thursday. And a huge night this evening for David Gray in the Premiership as Hibs host Aberdeen. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL. The big games are just coming thick and fast.
Yeah, none bigger tonight for probably Hibs and David Gray. I know he got a vote of confidence in the international break, Gordon. That can only last so long if you keep losing games. We were talking about it just before we came on air. I don't think some of his players helped him out. Dens Park after a terrific start. And then you look forward now back to the European campaign. Celtic and Rangers both in action Wednesday and Thursday. A lot to talk about, a lot of exciting points.
Yeah, looking forward to it. As Daz says, a big game for both teams tonight. I think Aberdeen's first defeat at the weekend. Obviously, they'll be looking to bounce back. Hibs, they'll be looking for his players to help him tonight because they were a disaster at the weekend. And then you look towards tomorrow and Thursday with the European games. Another big night at Celtic Park to look forward to. Still a wee bit wary about Bruges. I think they won 7 at the weekend, so I think Celtic will really need to put in another similar performance to they did against Leipzig.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So let's hear from you. How are you tonight? What are you thinking? If you want to go straight for this evening's football, then I'm sure plenty to discuss, mostly from a Hibs angle. Any Hibs fans out there? Is this it? Is this the last stand for the manager if things go wrong, or could he survive a bit longer? Aberdeen fans, how do you think you'll bounce back from that defeat at the weekend? I suspect most of you have already got European football on your mind this week, though. It was press day today for Brendan Rodgers and Cameron Carter-Vickers. So how are you feeling, Celtic fans? Who would have thought at full-time in Dortmund with that 7-1 defeat that you'd be getting into this game on 7 points, a win, moves you on to that magic number of 10, which, if you believe the Opta stats and the supercomputers, would see you through to the playoff phase of this new Champions League. And then who knows, still 3 games to come, so maybe even could set your sights even higher than that. But I think, let's be honest, playoff phase first and foremost, and then move on from there. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking tomorrow? The sort of easy logic is you've beat RB Leipzig so well at home, this should be easier. But maybe the Champions League doesn't work that way. So give us all your thoughts. How confident are you of seeing off Bruges? Maybe you're heading along tomorrow. Tell us what you're expecting. And you know us here, we like to get a big debate going about who should play and who shouldn't play. I don't know if there is one about Celtic. Maybe again you can all make your case for Paulo Bernardo or Arne Engels. Maybe Alex Vaye, Greg Taylor. But we did this last time. Greg Taylor played at RB Leipzig. It was only a few weeks ago. So there's perhaps a more obvious question. Is it definitely the same team that played against RB Leipzig? Is that the blueprint now? Is that the benchmark that Celtic have to hit again? Give us all your thoughts ahead of that one tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers has been speaking today, so we'll hear from him. You're in the middle ground now, Rangers fans. Last night, my goodness, at the start, this was like proper therapy. Rangers fans phoning in, devastated at the way things are after the defeat to Dundee United, the draw, and it felt like a defeat, the draw against Dundee United at the weekend. Where are you now? Have you moved on? Have you calmed down? Are you feeling a sense of apathy or anger? How would you describe it? And then what about looking forward? Because whatever goes on, you do still somehow seem to perform slightly better in Europe, and you still have a chance of progressing in this Europa League. So give us your thoughts ahead of Thursday, and anything else that you think is out there that you want to discuss, this is the place to do so. 0141 951 1025. You're recovered from the weekend? Anything you want to tidy up from there? Would you like to look forward? Look back, a man with no regrets and
no regrets
in your life.
Half full glass, so we have to look forward, Gordon.
Nothing worth commenting on?
No, nothing. That's gone, that's in the past.
No, that's not true, actually, because when we said goodbye to you on Saturday, we hadn't seen Hearts Celtic yet. And in fact, thanks to Storm Bert, Rangers' game against Dundee United finished about a minute before we left on Saturday.
I was listening to a little bit of you guys in the car,
not ideal.
And I thought
it's a good listen, isn't it?
But I thought, are they going to be on till after the Celtic game.
George Bowie gave
could
us
have been a really long day.
George Bowie was feeling very charitable, and he gave us an extra 2 minutes to tidy up.
Whole 2 minutes.
And the complaints that come flooding into Radio Clyde about that was.
I'm going to text Willow. You guys on till.
Yeah, but you're right. We didn't touch on, you know, the performance, and everybody keeps saying that. And this is now a myth for me. Celtic going to Hearts isn't a Tynecastle isn't a difficult venue for me.
Why? Because it finished 4-1.
No, because
you don't think that looked difficult in the first half.
But the game's over 90 minutes. It's not first half. It used to be that. The pitch, the atmosphere, Hearts were always up for it. They were in about Celtic's faces. I just think Celtic going to these places now, they've got so much ability. They know how to deal with that. Mm. You know, if Celtic play the way they can play, they win the games.
I don't think by any stretch of the imagination they were at their best at the weekend, but that's a scary thing in itself because they come away with a 4-1.
No, because, I know what you're saying, Sid, but what happened in years gone by... We always spoke about Tynecastle, Pittodrie, places like it's going to be a difficult fixture.
Yeah.
You never once sat there on Saturday night and thought, well, Celtic might drop points here. I know that the first half wasn't great, but you never sat there and thought they're going to drop points. I think that's a myth now for me.
01419511025 if you want to have your say. How do you look back on the weekend Rangers have had then, Gordon? Because like we said, we were just dealing with the full time whistle. We had to go. You'll have seen the reaction. You'll have seen, I guess, the calls for managerial change. And then with the passing of a couple of days, the assumption that that's not going to be the case.
I think the only thing that the Rangers fans can look forward to, and it's incredible to say, is Thursday night, because I think some of their best performances, some of their best football has been the European competitions. I watched the game.
How is that? Why does it work out like that?
Simon, I don't know, but Rangers fans are switching off in their droves. Yeah. And you heard the programme last night. And it's not us sitting here and criticising Rangers constantly. It's their fans. They've had enough. They've had enough of the manager. They've had enough of style of play. I think they've had enough of some of the way that decisions have been made round about the club, everything like that. It just goes from one bad thing to the other. But you look at this just now and they're sitting with 11 points behind a Celtic team that look unstoppable, plus goal difference, which makes it 12.
They're not scoring goals.
Yeah, makes it 12. The goal they lost, you've got a manager that goes into a game, they beat Hearts at home, and okay, struggle second half, didn't lose a goal, and he changes two of the back four right away. And you've seen the weakness in the back four when Dundee United scored, and probably could have scored another couple of goals. I think that teams now are going to Ibrox thinking, we can get something here. I really do.
I'll tell you what, for a man who wanted to look forward and not back, he had a lot to say about the weekend's action, didn't he? But anyway, 01419511025. Tommy's a Celtic fan. 10 points, that's the incentive tomorrow, Tommy. You can move to that 10-point mark. What are you thinking?
I think a close 10 points more. Close 3 points to take us to 10, but different league brews are in, isn't it? I think the game against homeboys will be a win. I think we've got Zagreb and steal a point. Aston Villa's a different kettle of fish because they'll probably be qualified. So... if that's the case, up for the put of the boys.
So you're already looking at that last game. So you think the job can be done tomorrow? You think that 10 points will be reached and then takes the pressure off?
It's this Optus sport thing. I don't understand it. It's a supercomputer. And what are they saying? Is it 10 or 11 points or 10?
I think last I checked, 10 points gave you a high... I think it was a high 90% chance. Let's go for 10, Simon, at the moment, right? Yeah. I think that's always what we've been building up to. If Celtic can do it at this relatively early stage, because as Tommy mentions, young boys at home, Dinamo Zagreb away, and then, yes, as good as Aston Villa have been in the Champions League, it might be at a time when they've already qualified. So is it just about the 10 points first?
I think they'll get more than 10 points. I'm quite optimistic that they will, but I'm just saying that because they had such a great result in the last game against Leipzig, they were outstanding. They still need to be wary. People will say it's Bruges, they're maybe not the biggest name in Europe, but they had a great result at the weekend. They beat Villa last game, albeit the goalkeeper made...
Well, he was acting like the goalkeeper.
Yeah, they picked the ball, Mings picked the ball up. It was a terrible goal to give away, but they beat Aston Villa. So, I've said this all along, Celtic in Europe, they have to have 8, 9, 10 players performing at their best, which they did in the last game, and they won it. But I think they will get more than 10 points. Tomorrow would be a great result. With this new league set up, you look at all the big teams like Liverpool are playing Madrid and different ones like that. I think Paris play Bayern tonight. If you win tomorrow, you could shoot right up that table. I think it's a good new way of doing it, and it's given Celtic a great opportunity of progressing. But it will be a difficult game.
I think all about the Brendan Rodgers, Gordon, was a bit... reluctant to talk about 10 points and getting there. We'll hear from him and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Carter-Vickers was a bit more open about it. I think you can tell they've clearly been targeting the 10-point mark, and then you look from there. That, put it this way, as we said earlier, if you were to offer a Celtic fan like Tommy full-time in Dortmund, you get a home game against Bruges to take you on to 10 points with three games to spare. It's a lovely position to be in.
Great position. I look back in that, and everybody was saying, right, okay, the Dortmund after that, well, if we can win our home games, and it was all focused on the home games. I think the turning point was Atalanta.
Yeah.
You know, the performance, the
they gave them a wee bit of belief, didn't they?
Belief, confidence, everything, and then they go and they kick on from that. They must get into this tomorrow night after their last performance feeling top of the world, looking forward to it. They're playing very well. They're scoring a lot of goals. The only thing that Brendan Rodgers disappointed about at the weekend was the loss of the Hearts goal, but give Hearts a lot of credit. It was a decent goal. I think they get into this game tomorrow. They can't be complacent, Gordon. You know, I think everybody thinks that they'll go and win it, right? I just think they've got to be at the top of the game. If they're at the top of the game, and the way these guys are playing with the confidence they're playing with, then they've got a great opportunity to be sitting in 10 points tomorrow night.
Must be nice, Tommy, though, to have the Leipzig result very recently to then at least know what this team's capable of, you know, rather than kind of fearing the worst or not knowing if you can do these things at that level.
That's true, aye, but it's not the start. It's after what happened at the weekend with Rangers dropping points and Celtic hammering Hearts. I mean, the confidence must be sky high. Starting for that Atlanta game, I mean, we've not lost, so... I mean, they must be in a confidence. They must be going to think we can beat teams like Club Brugge.
What impact do you think the Leipzig one can have or will have? Because we said before, what we've seen over the last few years is what Celtic do on a Saturday doesn't really... It might not impact what happens midweek. You know, we said it before, they battered St Johnstone. People were talking about it being one of the all-time Premiership hammerings, and that was the one that came before Dortmund. So I wonder if actually the reference becomes RB Leipzig rather than, you know, stuff that happens domestically.
Domestically, I think so. You can't fail to take huge confidence from that last performance. It's one of the most dominant, albeit but they went behind, which I think's just as impressive, because for 15 minutes there was a slight wobble and they responded brilliantly. Once Kuhn got them back on level terms, there was only one team going to win that game. I thought they were really dominant, really strong against a good outfit, so I think it can only give them confidence. But I'm getting back to the game before that, the 0-0 after the heavy defeat against Dortmund, and a lot of criticism thrown at them are that they play one way and they can't defend away from home. They get a great point there, so I think these games are building. And you talk about Carter Vickers there, you can hear it when he talks today. I think they feel it themselves that they can go on and do something here.
Thank you, Tommy. Let's ask Jay his thoughts. Jay's on the other line. Are you heading along tomorrow, or Jay, even if you're watching it, you think the 10 points is going to be in the bag and that be enough to progress?
Absolutely. Hi guys, how you doing?
Good,
thank you.
Absolutely, mate. I just came on for a bit of positivity. I'm a Celtic fan, obviously, and absolutely loving life right now. I've not been able to get to the games in terms of the kind of league games, but always try and get to the European games. I've been lucky enough, I went to the last two. Amazing, you know, one of the best nights of my life. The 5-1 game, we thought that was the best night, but the Leipzig game was even better. You know, and we've got to a point, I think, as Celtic fans, is that it's tomorrow we're going in and now we're expecting a win. There's no way about it. We've got the tools, as I say, to do the job. We've got the fan base, we've got the stadium, we've got the players. What I think is Brendan Rodgers has done an amazing job. A lot of criticism he got in when he came in. Players have turned out amazing. you know, the way the club's run. But as a fan point of view, I just think life could not be better. You know, we're in the biggest competition in football, top of the league. We're firing in every single cylinder. Even at the weekend there, the first half is a bit iffy. Second half came out, smashed it out of the park. And it's just, it's positivity. What makes the positivity even better as well is the other side of the city obviously is not doing too well. So that just, it's a cherry on the top of the cake for us.
That's the way riflery works, I suppose. There's no doubt about that. I don't think there's any shame in it. What way do you look at it, Gordon? Because obviously there's a chance to go and do it tomorrow, take care of it at the earliest possible opportunity. On the flip side of that, because of the format, because of the good work Celtic have done, let's say they draw tomorrow, 8 points. It gives you three more games to accumulate another two. You know, that wouldn't be the end of the world. That would still be an okay position. But I don't know, do you prefer to then not let the doubt sort of creep in?
Yeah, I think you've got to keep the momentum going, and I think that's what Brendan Rodgers will say to his players. He'll firmly believe that they can go out tomorrow and put on another performance and get the valuable 3 points. Even if the worst came at the worst, Gordon, and they did get a point, right? I don't think that's the end of the world. I think they've got that opportunity. Yes, a couple of difficult games away from home, but young boys at home, you'd imagine Celtic could smash that the way they play, under the floodlights, the atmosphere at Celtic Park. I think they're in a real strong position. Look, they can't go out there and sort of be off it a little bit and expect to win. They've got to be in the front foot. They've got to be doing the same things that they've been doing for, you know, domestically and the last few games in Europe. They're in a great position. I expect them, if they go in the front foot tomorrow, I expect them to get 3 points, no problem.
Jay, that Leipzig performance, is that as good as you've seen, really, performance level wise in the Champions League? And you know, I take it that just becomes about trying to even, you know, replicate it or get close to it tomorrow.
Absolutely. See, we were there, and it's okay for about 10 minutes. You know, we weren't on the ball, but that's what football's all about. That was what the game's all about. It was all about regrouping. They got the goal, and from there on in, it was like one way traffic. Well, and I think I want to say as well is this new format, I think it's been amazing for Celtic. Absolutely, exactly what teams like Celtic needed. Because if you look at some of the big teams in there, they're not doing that well. This format suits us to the ground. And I think it can only go from strength to strength next year and the year after.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think I've seen a lot of positivity about it. I think particularly for teams like Celtic, they're like the sort of perfect case study as to a team that would enjoy it and would thrive, because it gives you that, you know, that chance to get in that middle section, that playoff. I don't know if the jeopardy is quite there for some of the big teams, because they know that they can probably take their foot off the gas in a couple of games and still.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. As I said earlier, I was thinking about other teams cutting each other's throat tomorrow night, and if Celtic keep accumulating points and say they get the 3 points tomorrow, they'll shoot up that table. The feel good factor will be there again going into the last three games. I definitely think the Champions League needed a revamp. You know, I think that the days of the four teams in a league are probably beginning to bore everybody. So this is something new, whether they stick with it, you know, further down the line. But I certainly agree with you. It gives teams like Celtic the opportunity to progress.
Okay, thank you very much to Jay, 01419511025. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers next, so good time for you to get involved as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dieler here. 01419511025 is the number that you need. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. We're going to speak to Kevin in just a second. The Celtic boss says they want to use the power of Celtic Park to help them tomorrow night.
I think it's for us again another opportunity to show the power of Celtic Park. Like, I've got absolutely no doubt that every team and their supporters will feel that their football ground is special and really special to be that, to play there, and I respect that. But I know this club and I know the fans and I know the stadium, so I know how special it really is to play here and how difficult it can be. But what you have to be able to do is then match that with the performance, and that's something that has really pleased me in these recent home games in the Champions League. So it's not just a tick box for players to come here and clubs to come and say they've played at Celtic Park, but it's to come and realise you're going to be in for a game here. And that combination of the support base and the team making it a really difficult night.
How important is that message, Simon? Because one thing that's a guarantee is that when teams come out of Celtic Park and the Champions League anthem plays and "You'll Never Walk Alone" rings round, yeah, it is incredible. We all know it. We've all seen the quotes from the great and good of European football over the years, and certainly anyone who's represented the home team. However, for a while, it didn't didn't really translate into results. So therefore, that's the bit that Brendan Rodgers said there about it being a tick box. However, now you wonder if something is starting to build.
Feyenoord
at the end of last season, yeah, Slovan Bratislava, now Leipzig. So it is three home wins in a row.
It's a combination of both the support and the performance. I was at the Leipzig game. The start, as you say, is incredible. The fans are right up for it, but then they react to what's on the pitch. And that night, you know, when they went 2-1 ahead and 3-1 ahead, the fans were unbelievable. They crave that success on that European stage. And when they get it, there's no better place. And I think, you know, you say for a lot of years, look, players come into play at Celtic Park, and I think experienced European players do enjoy playing there, and they're not phased as such. But I think the other way, I think it lifts the Celtic players when they hear the fan base getting behind them, 60,000 at Celtic Park. The atmosphere of the last game was phenomenal. So it's a combination. This team are now beginning to perform in Europe and getting decent results, and the fans see that and they think, you know, we can compete here, we can go and get into the knockout stages, which would be amazing. So it's a combination, but you know, the atmosphere was electric against Leipzig.
Let's bring in Kevin, who's on the line. How are you, Kevin?
Hi, all good. Gordon, how you doing?
Not bad. What have you got for us tonight?
That's just a wee quick point about Rio Hatate. Really frustrates me. I really think Celtic could do, we wouldn't miss him, and bring in Lennon Miller, a straight swap. If not now, then maybe next season.
I don't know about a straight swap.
Yeah, we'll take that. Forgot to lose one of our young players. But Kevin, I'm sorry, everybody's got their opinion, I can't disagree with you. You know, it's incredible that you've come on. Hatate to me is one of the most talented players in Scottish football. He's absolutely brilliant. I think he's great in the big stage. Everything about him, you watch him, he's clever, his knowledge of the game, he's passing, he can get you goals. I find it astonishing.
What frustrates you about him, Kevin? Because, I mean, you pay your money and you're more much involved than I am, and you've got that tie, but I have to say, I wouldn't mind him in my team if your straight swap was available. What frustrates you about him?
It just sometimes he's complacent, sometimes too long on the ball, goes backwards, and I just feel we're going to miss him.
Would Celtic not miss Rio Hatate?
Everybody's got their opinion. Wow. Kevin's got his, but I can't agree. I go back to the Leipzig game. I thought he was unbelievable.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
And the fact that Kevin's saying about him going back there, I think he's one of the best in the game. The awareness round about him, that he can let the ball run through him, almost not taking a touch, and Celtic are on the attack. Listen, he plays in a position in the park where he's a risk taker as well. So sometimes the pass isn't always going to get there, but I would take that all day opposed to somebody playing safe. I think he's a fantastic footballer.
Kevin, you've stunned them both. You seriously think he doesn't do more good than bad?
Oh, I am serious. Yeah.
Well, each to their own and all that.
I'm finding that astonishing.
I mean, on nights like Leipzig, I mean, he was one of the key parts of what everyone's calling a sort of all-time Celtic Champions League performance, was he not?
One-off good game.
Well, not one-off, that's the point. Well, I want to know what Kevin, I want to know what Rio Hatate's done. I think there's like a story here.
I tell you what, he set the bar very hard. High, Kevin. If Hatate's not one of his favourite players, and I don't know if Kevin's having his own here. I find that astonishing to say, look, a one-off game. Hatate's been terrific for Celtic.
So you're dropping him tomorrow, Kevin?
We wouldn't miss him if he didn't play.
Oh, come on! No way. Are you having us on?
Yes.
No.
Yes, you are, Kevin.
It was a pretty strange topic for wind up, to be fair, if it is. I mean, listen,
everybody's got their opinion. I just think Hatate, in the time he's been at Celtic, he's had far more good games than.
It's a one off, according to Kevin.
Well, not for me.
Well, I think clearly what we've seen earlier, there's always room for a slight discussion or debate. There were times earlier in the season, maybe Bernardo. There's off the boil a bit, mm-hmm. and Bernardo's there and there's competition. But wow, that's a million miles away from wouldn't miss him.
If Celtic play in their biggest game, and that probably start tomorrow night this season, to get this 3 points that would put them in an unbelievable position, and he plays his strongest team, Hatate's starting in that strongest team.
Yeah.
So that's Brendan Rodgers. And if Celtic fans believe Brendan Rodgers is doing a magnificent job and a terrific coach, then you've got to go with that judgment for me.
Well, can't please them all. Thank you to Kevin and Pollock on 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from, in fact, let's go Cameron Carter-Vickers this time, because it relates specifically to this points tally, this notion of getting to 10 points. The defender says the squad feel that they are pretty close to progressing to the next phase.
Right at the beginning of the competition, we kind of outlined how many points we wanted to reach, but you know, since then we've just been kind of taking it game by game, and you know, I think we're in a strong position at the moment, so just about adding to that points tally and seeing how many points we can achieve. We feel as a group we're probably pretty close to getting out of this kind of group phase of the tournament. So, like I said, there's still 4 games left, and we want to get positive results in all of them. So it's just kind of us against ourselves now and seeing how many points we can get. Yeah, I think if you look at kind of as a group, you know, we've been in this competition now for 3 years, and I think you can kind of see how we've kind of matured and grown as a group in this competition. And, you know, it's not just about learning from this season. I think we can take our learnings from the last couple of seasons, and we have done so far to get into this season's competition. And it's at the moment, it's paying off well for us, though.
There you go. I get it. Why Brendan Rodgers, like I say, was a bit more guarded than just talking about trying to win each game. But you've got, it sounds like the squad are well aware. He says they feel pretty close. They feel close. They know basically what's at stake tomorrow.
You've got to feel that way. After the performances, take away the Dortmund game, which was a disaster from the start, almost. Take that out of the equation, the rest of the performances have been really good. Domestically, they're on a high as well. It's the feel-good factor. I think it was Jade phoned up earlier on. Feel-good factor there, and it resonates with the first-team squad as well. They must be feeling good about themselves. They must see they're a win away from that 10 points. They're at home. Their confidence must be sky-high.
Managers will always play it down. That's just the way they operate. They'll never get ahead of themselves, and rightly so. Brendan Rodgers, very experienced. But Sid's right. Players are completely different. They'll be in that dressing room, they'll be looking forward to this tomorrow night. They know what's at stake. They know if they get 3 points tomorrow night, they're in a real, real good position. And I like the fact that you come out there and you say, look, we know where we are, and they're in a good place. You can't argue with that. They're playing with a lot of confidence, they're scoring goals, and I think every one of the players are looking forward to that game tomorrow night.
On that point of growing, he said, you know, for a lot of the group it's 3 cracks at the Champions League. Do you feel like maybe there is a bit of that as well, you know, that just grown into the challenge? I mean, the new format's changed things a bit, because with no disrespect, Slovan Bratislava are probably not quite of what you'd think of like a traditional Champions League level. You know, I remember, and this is not to take anything away from Celtic, but I remember on the night people pointing out they were like the same odds as St Johnstone or something to go and win the game. However, from the Atalanta, you know, RB Leipzig, do you get the sense that those players who have been through it quite a lot in the last few seasons are now starting to grow in the Champions League?
Yeah, I think playing at that level, you have to take things on board, and Celtic have had a few heavy defeats in that time. You know, they ran Real Madrid close at home for 45 minutes, and then Real Madrid raced away in the second half. But for 45 minutes, they were there, they were toe-to-toe with them. So they've learned from all these different experiences, but see, when you start getting results, I think that's when the real belief comes in. And they've managed to do that. They've turned the campaign on its head from that disastrous first game to a fantastic point against a team who won the Europa League the year before, Atalanta, very difficult team to play against. And then they've blown Leipzig away. And there was a wee bit of adversity in the game. As I said, they went one behind. Mm. It wasn't a plain sailing. They had to work at it. They turned it and they dominated the second half. So that must give them belief.
Aidan is a Celtic fan. How are you, Aidan?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Listen, I was having my dinner and I nearly choked when the fella, Kevin, was talking about Hatate getting a great walk
Now, listen, the boy at Motherwell's dynamite, and I would take him in a heartbeat, but I don't know where Kev is coming from. I genuinely think he's one of the best players, as Gordon said. And it struck a chord when Simon had said he lets the ball go through him. I've not seen a player do that. Callum McGregor obviously does that, but I've not seen a player do that. And I'm 52 since Paul McStay. And I can see that in him. And I mean, he's got a long way to go to be anywhere near Paul McStay's level. But I just wanted to phone up and say, Kevin, I'm not sure where you're at, mate. I've got another quick point, if that's okay. And it was listening to Brendan Rodgers, and he's been back up the road a wee while. And he was talking about a contract, and he was saying, look, no one really wanted me to be here probably in the first 6 months. And I'm pretty sure 99% of Celtic fans wouldn't want me to go. And this is probably, you know, looking forward a bit too far if Celtic can get into the playoffs and any further. And if one of the big boys comes and chaps Celtic's door, a Villa, and I know Unai Emery's doing really well, or someone else of that ilk, does he have it in him to go, no, I'm happy here? And I read all the comments, and I like what he's got to say. And it's not that I don't trust him, but I just think there's a potential that he might walk away if Celtic do particularly well, win another treble. Does he see his contract out? And it was just to ask Simon and Gordon the question, if that's all right.
Leicester job's vacant, Aidan.
Yeah,
too soon. Not allowed to make those jokes yet. A few years on, I don't know. What do you make of the more sensible point, Simon?
I think there's always, it's not like any different to any player. If somebody's successful, like Brendan is at the moment, there will be speculation, there will be interest. I would hope that, you know, he's taking this job again, and he's second season in. We're now beginning to see a real difference in Europe. They've spent well, they've recruited well, the team's playing well. You know, I would hope he would stick about, but you know, we were talking about Kuhn last week because he's had a fantastic start to the season and teams linked with him. That's just what's going to happen in our league. You know, there's always going to be interest if people are doing well.
I think that Celtic are a great club, big club, and they're doing terrifically well. But Brendan Rodgers, I think Simon's right, it's like a player. You always want to be in the biggest league you possibly can. Look, I don't see Brendan Rodgers leaving Celtic anytime soon. I think he's got a good thing going. But if he gets near that end of that contract and one of the big English clubs, or, you know, top six, top eight, whatever it may be, Premier League clubs come calling, I think Brendan Rodgers would sit down and consider it seriously.
Just for the avoidance of doubt, Aidan, you're starting Rio Hatate tomorrow, yeah?
Yes, yeah. Unless we can get the boy from
Motherwell. See, this is why I left him out of it, because I didn't want him dragged into this, because it would be unfair to then sort of shoot Lennon Miller down all for a mad point about Rio Hatate. Just out of curiosity, then, Arnie Ingles, are there any question marks there? I'm probably going looking for something, because I think, you know, that the rest are sort of nailed on. Is there any scope for a Bernardo over Ingles, or is this just going to be Leipzig all over again?
Do you know, I was thinking that earlier. I was talking to my mate at work, and I do think Bernardo might start, just because of what he's shown in the second half against Hearts. I think Ingles is, obviously, that first season, as he went off the boil, it's hard to say. He obviously came in running, he scored a penalty, he's got, you know, a bit about him. He played for Belgium, he's a starter there. I just think his second season, I think we'll see the best out of him. But I think he'll start Bernardo tomorrow night. I've got a funny feeling about him.
I wouldn't put it by him. I don't think it weakens the team, but I just look at it and I think Ingles will start. I think he's got that midfield three nailed on just now for the big games, for the big occasions. This is a big game, this is a big occasion, and I think it'll be the three.
I'm unsure. I think Aidan's
Bernardo?
No, I'm unsure. I think
even though Leipzig was so recently,
I think he's got a really good position, the manager there, because he's got players there. As you say, I don't think it takes any level of quality out the team. And I think Bernardo,
is Ingles more powerful runner? Is that the consensus?
I wouldn't say that either. No, I wouldn't say that. And I think he's going to be a great player. I think he came in, had a really good game in the Bratislava game. And we maybe all get carried away a bit. The guy's still a young kid. In the game, he's now playing for Belgium. I think he's going to be an excellent player for Celtic, very athletic. It's not a slight on him. I'm just unsure. You know, Bernardo for me is excellent as well.
Okay, well, you can throw your opinion in there as well. Thank you to Aidan. Let me tell you, before we go any further, all about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pearce.
If you're watching on the live stream, you'll see the nice Clyde One Super Scoreboard Christmas tree right in between Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale. Extra special considering he is the genuinely the only person I know who does not put up a Christmas tree. So we'll try to get...
He doesn't.
Of course he doesn't.
Or a card.
You know, my boy put...
He's non-conformist.
My boy put one up last night.
Or a card, so don't send me.
See, not...
I don't put in. No.
Do you know what? In 2024, I can almost get the
understand.
Cards thing.
Yeah.
But the tree... Anyway, I got distracted there. What I was trying to say is Christmas is round the corner, clearly. And we know that for children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire, it's one of the most exciting times of the year, even for the big kids out there as well. Now, each year on Mission Christmas, we get together, we ask for your help, because we want to make sure that every child can get that same excited feeling, because with homes to heat and winter clothes to buy and food to buy, families are already struggling, which means Christmas then becomes a luxury that so many people can't really afford. And we believe quite strongly that no child should miss out, and that's where you come in. We're asking you to help us make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids. We just want to make sure that the kids have got the essentials first and foremost, and then perhaps something to open on the big day. So we've been speaking to Caitlin Kerr, who works for YOMO, a charity based in the northeast of Glasgow, helping young people shape their often deprived communities. She told us that things are getting worse, unfortunately.
Everybody's feeling the impact of the cost of living crisis. There's a lot of people coming into our community centre at the moment panicking about whether, like, kind of universal credit or things are going to be cut. Winter fuel payments, we have a lot of, like, parents coming and asking if they know of anywhere they can get support. So yeah, it's 100% getting worse, and we're getting asked for more and more support. If you can spare any money to help out with Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, please do, as it does make a world of difference to children and young people's lives.
Yeah, and there's a big difference needing to be made, because in some parts of Glasgow in the West, as many as one in two children live in poverty. So it's not about trying to make it some big, grand, magical day, but just looking for your help to try and make Christmas Day a bit different for so many children out there in our local communities. And what we can do as well, which is extra special, is guarantee that 100% every single penny goes back to those who need your help. So if you think you can get involved, I know it's not easy, but please do. It's clyde1.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pearce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now.
And Simon Donnelly are here. Gordon DL, 01419511025 is the number that you need. You can tweet us at ClydeSSB as well. I don't really know. Let's keep me on my toes. There's all sorts of noises and stuff going on. I didn't really know when the break ended, because sometimes you talk about some questionable things during the break.
Revelation. I'm glad the mic's well. A revelation there.
It was innocent. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
It's never stuff. Watched it until this year.
This is the one for me.
Incredible.
I.
Where have you been?
Do you know you're sitting next to the guy? He loves it more than anyone.
I can't.
Sid loves
right,
it.
I cannot believe people think that that's right. He turns around, looks at me dead serious, and says, "It's the only programme that all the family watch together."
I love that. It he is. Told me that last year, and I actually
absolutely
quote him.
True. Because usually I'm watching football, wife's watching something else, boys are up the stairs. It's the only time we make an
was
effort.
Is it a shout round about the
yes,
house?
It's yeah,
starting.
It's starting now.
See, that's precious.
Oh, precious. Catch up.
Not everybody
oldest boy's 21 as well, but we still all watch it.
Not everybody sits themselves under their blanket on their recliner every evening.
No,
I can't believe this is your first
ever.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Who do you think's going to win? Who are you going for?
I think there'll be. Do you know who I like? The Vicar.
Right,
I love the Vicar. Yeah. I think he's brilliant. Great sense of humour.
Let's go back to the football. The Vicar, exactly.
You know, Vicar.
The simple thing.
You know, Vicar. Yes, Vicar.
Let's bring in Gary, who's on the line. Gary, bring us back to normality, please.
I can stick my missus on the phone, she can talk.
Steady, Gary.
Honestly,
come on.
Gary, honestly. What are you thinking about football then?
I just think that the fans have lost confidence in Clement, and have lost confidence in the board. So even if they get rid of Clement, the problem is the room, anybody that comes in is still going to be under the same sort of pressure. We've got, obviously, the new executives coming in December, and there's a talk of a new chairman supposed to be getting announced pretty soon, if the rumours are to be believed. But I think until those are in position, if they get rid of Clamont, you need to bring in an interim manager until January. Get the tougher games going into the winter out of the way. Bring him in at the start of January. Give him the window and hope for the best, basically.
So you're sort of... at peace, if that's maybe the wrong phrase. I'm sure you're not at peace, but you're not one of these that thinks, right, you know, must be sacked now, do it this week sort of thing. You can sort of understand that it might even be beyond that. Is that fair?
Pathetic to it now. I think the anger's sort of subsided and it's now apathy, and I think the vast majority of sort of the attendance on the Saturday sort of speaks to that. I had two tickets for me and my wee boy. Took one look at the weather and went, I'm not putting both of us through that to go and watch something that by half time we're going to be publishing. I'm too cold, let's go home.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, I guess there would be a bit of that, and it's the combination. I don't know how much the weather played a part at the weekend, but the word that does keep coming through is apathy. So the anger is probably subsiding for some people. Apathy is worse in a way when it comes to your football team. The caller on last night who said that him and his, I can't remember, was it Craig who said that me and my pal Shug, we've been going since we were wee bears, and wee Shug won't even come out the house anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame wee Shug.
So it's getting to that stage.
It certainly is, Gordon. The fans are certainly not happy. Yes, the weather was dreadful at the weekend, but you know, Ibrox was empty after about 50, 60. We had people phoning in saying they left before half time.
The guy on Saturday that phoned during the game. During it.
By the way, sitting behind the goals.
Oh, was he?
You hear the game raging on. This is rotten.
Yeah, I thought he was in the house. It was that quiet.
No, I never heard that bit.
I don't see anything changing. He's got a massive. I thought they'd have beat Dundee United. I've got to be upfront and honest. And I say, right, okay, they've got a massive December coming up because they've got two big games. Obviously, Spurs come calling, then they've got the cup final. Yeah. Now, that would paper over the cracks, but it would help the Rangers manager. It would give them a bit of breathing time. I think the Rangers fans would give them a bit of breathing time. But the football and everything about Rangers just now is dreadful, Gordon. It's absolutely dreadful. It's not me sitting here because I don't go along and pay my money for it. The fans have switched off. They've had enough. They need a change. They need something to excite them. Gary, they're watching Celtic go way into the distance and they're just standing still.
Gary, what's the mindset like this week? Because you're still in a good position in the Europa League. You absolutely could progress from that. Is it hard to care because of the way things are domestically, or can you still, you know, kind of get yourself up for it and try and focus on Europe to a point? Oh, he's disappeared. Brilliant question that, yeah. As well. He's disappeared. I'm heartbroken. Yeah. You want to answer it for him?
What was the question? I switched off after about a couple of minutes. It was actually boring. No wonder Gary hung up.
It was who do you think should take part in the Bush Tucker trial?
Yeah.
Tonight. The point Danny. Is this week, look, Europe actually isn't a lost cause. Rangers could progress. But is the domestic picture got so bad that fans don't like care anymore, or how does it work?
It's a strange one because you watch Rangers in the European games, and I've been impressed with the football looks completely different.
Yeah, a slight improvement.
It looks different as well. It looks like they're up for it. It looks like they're on the front foot. It looks like they've got a little game plan. You watch some domestic football, and it's dreadful. I keep saying it, borefest. It is. You would completely switch off.
It's sluggish, isn't it? I watched it at the weekend, and out with the lad Cherney, who has kind of kept it going in the last few weeks. He's
doing his bit, isn't
he? He's our best performer by far. Rest of it's lackluster. And I think I said it in the show before, it's not even they're on the coattails of Celtic. It's the fact that they're behind Aberdeen as well, which it just heaps more pressure on the manager.
Okay, let's play this. Beat the pundit. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen.
Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025 if you'd like to join us, and please do, because we've got busy, busy topics for you tonight. Looking at the Champions League tomorrow, Celtic fans, that magical 10 points. What is it the Opta supercomputer says? A 99% chance, I think, of progressing on 10 points. So how are you feeling? Are you confident? Would you pick the same team as the Leipzig game? Even in amongst that, we've got a very rogue call from a Celtic fan who seems to have upset Gordon Dalziel, upset Simon Donnelly, upset his fellow fans. Doesn't like Rio Hatate, says Celtic wouldn't miss him. Don't really know where it came from, but that is the beauty of live radio. Rangers fans, just before the news there, we had some discussion about how you feel this week, because Europe is not a lost cause. Europe is looking okay at the moment, and you head to Nice on Thursday, but against the backdrop of mega disappointment, frustration, negativity after the weekend, and lots of comments aimed at Philippe Clement as well. So give us all your thoughts. We've got a big game in the Premiership tonight, a huge game, perhaps a career defining game for David Gray, if you're that way inclined. That's going to take place at Easter Road against Aberdeen tonight. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The king of the ugly win, Simon Donnelly.
Good last week.
You can go above Hugh in the pundits table with a
Where
win
am I?
Tonight. You need a return to form.
No.
You dipped.
That's wrong.
What do you mean?
I'm telling you that's wrong, because you've got to read out, I lost my last two. I've not lost my last two. I won 10 and I've lost one. Boom.
You lost your last two?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I've lost my last one. I've not played after my loss.
Are you sure?
I've been sad.
What was the one you lost?
The 4-2.
It does say on here that you lost your last two.
That's nonsense. Somebody got to do the research.
Statisticians in there had.
Got to do your research on here, please.
Won 10.
10 in a row.
I did the 10, remember?
10.
What about Roger Hanna last night?
How'd he go?
He went for the 10 and got it wrong, but he got a 10 last week.
That is different.
Bear in mind, he starts on minus two. He's still winning on this minus two. Anyway, as if Beat the Pundit's not special enough, right? Extra special at the moment, because I want to give a big thanks to Cairnhill Steel Structures, because during Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, they're going to give a £10 donation for every correct answer that the listeners get. So hopefully we can get 7 correct answers tonight and 8 tomorrow, and on we go. But even if it's just the odd one or two, it'll mount up, because it's every night. So a tenner for every correct answer that the listener gets to Cash for Kids. Are you up for that, Chris in Motherwell?
Aye, I am. Aye, how you doing? All
not
right.
Not bad, Chris.
Chris in Motherwell.
Do you know Gordon Dalziel? Have you ever had the misfortune of bumping into him in your hometown?
No, I haven't. No, but I've beat him. Beat the pundit.
Oh, you've beat him before.
Oh, aye.
No, you've not, Chris. Revenge. Don't even know you.
Revenge tonight.
Do you know what?
Where are you from, Chris and Motherwell?
Don't give your address, Chris.
I grew up in Jerviston.
I used to play with Jerviston. I was a local hero up there. Is my statue okay?
You sound younger than him, Chris, for goodness sake. Do you know what, though? I'm amazed that anyone from Motherwell hasn't seen you, because you're everywhere. You just float about waiting for people to see you. Honestly. Like, all you would need to do, I promise you, right? Just go there.
Travel through Motherwell.
Go to Asda or Greg's and you'll see him. It's just a guarantee.
Or just walking about the streets.
Someone actually sent me a video last night of a guy getting huckled in Motherwell Asda, like all the police round him and pinning him down, and somebody said, "Is this Gordon Dalziel?" That's the reputation you're getting yourself.
Wait till Christmas time.
Run about town.
Anyway, Chris,
I'm a local celeb.
What we'll do, Chris, is toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Simon Donnelly. If it's tails, it is the local celeb, as he calls himself. Oh, I'm afraid it's the ugly win. There will be no Motherwell derby in here.
Tell you what, Chris, see if you win this ball, I'll hand it into your house.
Hey, that's a deal.
Yep. If you win this ball and get a few quid for Cash for Kids, I'll come directly to your house and hand it.
That's brilliant. A wee photo as well.
I'll take it.
Just quickly,
as long as you don't live in one of the towers.
You've 18th floor, the lift's not working. you've been on the show the last couple of years, but just quickly, did you ever hear the time, the thought of him turning up at somebody's door? You'll know Jock McStay, of course, who's his old teammate and so on. You ever heard about the time Gordon went to his house and walked right through the front door and shouted, "It's your Uncle Gordon," but he was in the wrong house?
I'm here to rob you.
And he was just in the neighbour's house.
That does not surprise me.
How worried would that be? Him
after all the stories
door?
I've heard of this guy.
By the way, his daughter let me in. But it wasn't his daughter, it was somebody else's daughter. Come in, Uncle Gordon.
Anyway, right, enough. Let's
go.
Let's give Simon something else to listen to, Chris. You've got the victory and beat the pundit, the sign ball, the meeting with Gordon DL, and the money for cash for kids. Don't let the pressure get to you.
No pressure.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. New Rangers CEO Patrick Stewart spent 18 years at which club?
Manchester United.
Who was Celtic's last English goalkeeper before Joe Hart?
Pass.
Which Hibs player was criticised for doing keepy uppies at the weekend?
Pass.
Who was Aaron Ramsey on loan to Rangers from? Who's the only Celtic player to win more trophies than James Forrest?
Callum McGregor.
At what stadium would you find the Wee Dublin End?
Pass.
These are tough.
They are tough, aren't they?
You, why is he dancing like that?
That's good. Such what was that?
I don't know what it broke into. Madonna was first. You missed Madonna there.
Oh, that was good.
But he was making faces.
Well, I was about to go right on the beat.
I thought it was maybe a different.
I was ready to go out my seat and give it a few minutes.
Did you not? So you didn't hear Chris?
Yes, I heard a bit, but then
questions are tough.
I tell you what, very tough. I wouldn't even say tough. I would put very in front of it.
Right, you ready?
Okey-doke.
Same set of questions.
You'll panic.
30
ugly winner.
On the clock, and your time starts now. New Rangers CEO Patrick Stewart spent 18 years at which club?
Pass.
Who was Celtic's last English goalkeeper before Joe Hart?
Foster.
Which Hibs player was criticised for doing keepy uppies at the weekend?
El Yoon.
Who was Aaron Ramsey on loan to Rangers from?
Nice.
Who's the only Celtic player to win more trophies than James Forrest?
Billy McNeil.
At what stadium would you find the Wee Dublin End?
Pass.
How tough are they tonight?
Surely Scott Brown won more trophies than...
Just a wee clue out there, right? Not that I would dream of fixing this, but a wee memo to the producers. See, during the time that we're giving a tenner to Cash for Kids for all the correct answers, maybe make them a wee bit easier. A wee novel thought there. Give some money to the kids.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
I thought
it's all about the kids.
Tricky.
Yeah.
You've tuned into Mastermind here.
I think I've had the Ramsey one before as well.
Is it not a wee Dublin End?
Oh, you didn't even get that far. Oh, you did get that far, didn't you?
Dublin End.
I'll put you in your misery in a minute.
Great. I don't even know
that. Right, Chris, let's go through them. Rangers CEO Patrick Stewart. I'm surprised at you, Simon, because this has been used in the last couple of days. He came from Manchester United. So it's 1-0 to Chris in Motherwell. However, you equalise straight away. You'll be kicking yourself on this one, Chris. Fraser Forster.
I know.
Another
one
here,
I thought you said current Celtic player.
I did wonder.
Who did Chris say about the goalkeeper?
Just passed it. Ellie Ewan is the keepy uppy. What about that? Our old pal, your usual Wednesday sparring partner, Big Marvin.
Happy.
No happy at the keepy uppies.
Was he not?
Are you buying into that?
No.
Is the big man overreacting?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's got a point.
He's not even here. You can disagree with him.
No, I think he's got a really good point. If that would have been in our dressing room.
And you're getting beat and you're
all
down
the
bottom of the league.
Man sent off. Yeah. And he's juggling the ball about.
No,
that's not acceptable.
Not more to the point, did Chris get it?
Marvin Bartley, drama queen. No, he didn't. So it's 2-1 to Simon.
Yes.
Interestingly, you both went for Nice, I think. Is that where he maybe went after?
It was
Juventus.
You know something? I think I've had that question before, and I think I answered Nice that time as well.
And I'll tell you what, you probably got it wrong there as well.
I would say so.
Chris, you're doing well, eh?
3-2-1. It's tough, though. I think these genuinely are tough. The only Celtic player to win more trophies than James Forrest, Bobby Lennox.
Bobby Lennox.
The great Bobby Lennox. Never got that. Get that?
No, he did not. And at what stadium would you find the Wee Dublin End?
Can we have a guess? Is that a lower club?
What do you mean?
Is it a lower club?
A lower league club?
Yeah.
It's not a top flight club, yeah.
I'm going to go for
no. No, I see you're thinking there, but no. Right. Morton.
Dublin.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Well, no. You will now. Chris, it was not enough to meet Gordon DL. It was not enough to win, beat the pundit, the same ball.
Oh, but
listen, they're gonna add up. It's a tenner to cash for kids. Thank you for taking part. And you can get your best of three match up at some point in the future. Thanks again.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Good man. There we go. You could have been he's delighted you don't need to hand deliver the ball.
Oh no, I've never wanted you to win as much in all my life. There's absolutely no I would have left it at Asda.
See, funnily enough, so on Friday actually Luke was the contestant who came on and he won. So it turns out Luke works with my wife, and I've met Luke before.
What?
Like numerous times, but he didn't bother letting on. I don't know what I would do in that situation, right. Would you?
Yeah, I'd name drop.
Right, make yourself
I
known.
Know you. Sort of thing. Right. So I am now having to do.
Are you handing the ball?
I need to just hand deliver it back to the house and save us.
Well,
save us the price of a stamp in here.
That's easy. That's a good one. But you don't need to go to Luke's door. I was having to go through
you'd
all the fans to get to Chris's
door again.
Front door.
You'd have been at the wrong door again.
He doesn't sound a guy that's got a blue riband waiting for a cup of tea, does he?
Anyway, 01419511025. It's up to you. We can go Celtic tomorrow and how you're feeling and how confident or otherwise you are and what the team should look like. And if you want to wade back into that bizarre Rio Hitati debate, you're more than
welcome.
You've
just glossed over the fact that I've went ahead of Shug.
So you have, and it was another quite ugly win as well, I would say.
Moving up. I'm moving up that table.
No, you're just getting the right contestants.
It's quite an ugly win.
I know. Do you know something? You make a great point there, right? See the guys sitting next door. Hang their head in shame.
It's a wee bit tricky.
We're trying to win money for cash for kids here, and all of a sudden we're getting the worst questions ever. Who's ever gotten to know that question about Morton apart from Morton support?
My arithmetic isn't great, but I wonder if you've maybe overtaken Marvin with that one as well.
That would be nice as well. That'd be a successful evening.
I think you probably will have. But anyway, right, you can do Celtic Champions League, as we said. We'll go and turn our attentions at some point to Easter Road, because what a huge night that is. So I'd love to hear from you Hibs fans on the prospects for David Gray should it not go well this evening. Here's a bit more on Rangers. Let's try and find out a bit more about Rangers opponents, because they play on Thursday night against Nice.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Right, I'm sure you know at this stage of European week, quite often we turn our attention to the opposition, try and find out a bit more, because it's not lost on anyone that as multi-talented as he is, Gordon DL is not a European football expert. He's an absolute expert on all things Scottish football, as we know, but sometimes we need to just get that extra bit of input. And I'm really looking forward to this one tonight, because quite often Andy Halliday likes this segment of the show. He always tells me we'll get someone with a nice French name on or a Greek name or an Italian name, depending on the opposition. But our French football expert for tonight is called Callum Brown.
No
you
way.
Happy with that?
No.
Let's welcome Callum to the show. Callum, can you put on an accent for us, just to add a little layer of authenticity?
It's not happening, I'm afraid. You need to do with a Livingston accent.
What part of France is he from? What's happening here? Livingston?
You can't come on.
Unbelievable. Did he even pretend? I was waiting on wearing a wee beret or something. But anyway, on a serious note.
He's not even got a baguette.
On a serious note, Callum has been out in France for the last couple of years, commentating on the French top flight, and genuinely properly does know his stuff. I just thought I'd use an opportunity to crack a cheap joke. Callum, what sort of, I mean, we're obviously going round and round on the position Rangers find themselves in, so what's the state of play for their opponents this week?
Yeah, a big win for Nice at the weekend, 2-1 against Strasbourg, so that takes them up to 5th, and Ligue 1 going very well at the minute. Shaky start, to be fair, under their new coach, Franquez, just 1-1, I think, in their opening 4, but 8 games unbeaten at the moment, going very, very well. That includes, you know, a draw against PSG, Lille, they beat Monaco as well, the 3 sort of Champions League opponents. 8-0 thrashing as well of Saint-Etienne, so going very well in the league. But in Europe, kind of contrast to Rangers, who are not going as well in the league but doing pretty well in Europe. Nice just 2 points from their four games, sitting 31st in that table. Away to Ferencváros, they lost. They were battered 4-1 by Lazio, both of those 2 points coming at home against Real Sociedad and 20. So it's a massive game for Nice, to be fair, against Rangers, really looking for that first win in Europe this season.
Yeah, it's always difficult, I think, to sort of gauge what do you lean on. Do you lean into the domestic record? Do you lean into what they've done in Europe? Then I suppose the difference in Europe this season is teams can be playing different opposition. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that usual group setup. So in terms of like danger men and main players that Rangers will need to stop, who's been doing most of the good stuff for Nice this season?
Yeah, well, they've got a number of key players. I wouldn't say there's a standout kind of, you know, hitman as such. It's probably hard to pinpoint one. As I say, they've got well-known names. Centre-back Dante, we speak about Craig Gordon, obviously, in Scotland, but Dante playing outfield at 41 years old. He's a real talent, the Brazilian defender. You've got Jeremy Boga as well, the winger. Plenty of key players missing, actually. Terry Moffey injured. Morgan Sansom, maybe names that people will know. Jonathan Close as well has, you know, got plenty of caps for France at right back. He missed the game on Sunday as well. And good news as well for Rangers, Sofiane Diop also missing. He was suspended in from the last game, and Tanguy Ndombele, if people remember him from Tottenham, he's just recovered from an injury, but again, might not be 100%. I'm looking more at, you know, kind of players that won't be as well known in Scotland. The likes of Mohamed Ali Cho, who's a tricky quick forward, and Evan Gesson, who's led the line very, very well this season. Six goals in Ligue 1, which is, you know, fourth top. So he's taken up his game a level this year. A real aerial threat, likes to go in behind, and could be a real threat, as I say, against the likes of John Souter proper, whoever plays for Rangers at the back.
Remarkably, this predates Philippe Clement. There's always been something about Thursday nights that even at times when Rangers are struggling domestically, they can sometimes or often up their game, you know, in Europe. And the only sort of logical explanation we hear for it, Callum, is that it's a style thing, that, you know, there's just something about it more suited, whether it's teams that are a bit more open because they feel the onus is on them to go and beat Rangers rather than teams making life difficult. I don't know, but what sort of style will Rangers, are they likely to face?
Yeah, well, it was interesting, obviously, looking this up. I've not been in France for a couple of weeks, but, you know, predominantly Nice are a 3-4-3, but they actually sprung a bit of a surprise, at the weekend, and they deployed a 4-2-3-1, but usually under Franquet, it's a 3-4-3. It's the formation that worked so well for him when he was at Lens, and they came second to PSG, but, you know, he got them into the Champions League with that formation, beat Arsenal, so a number of good results in Europe before, but hasn't really clicked for them yet in Europe, but as I say, started to click for them in the league, but kind of standard 3-4-3, probably what we saw with Steve Clarke's Scotland for a while, with the, you know, wing-backs high, kind of very dangerous front three, but unlike Clarke's Scotland, probably more forwards than sort of inside number 10s, if that makes sense. But not a massively possession-based team anymore. They were last year under Francesco Farioli, but a big shift from him. The Italians moved to Ajax, so they were third last season for most passes in Ligue 1. If I put a bit of context on it, this season under Franquez, they rank 11th out of the 18 teams for possession. So, you know, they more prefer to get the ball in behind through balls as opposed to crosses, things like that, trying to use the pace that front three of Gesson, Boga and Cho.
Callum, you're a good man. Your French accent can do some work for next time, but we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Callum's been out there covering French football for the last couple of years, so he knows his stuff, and hopefully you do too now, ahead of that game against Nice on Thursday. Good time to call, whether it is that game, Rangers fans. Are you encouraged by what you heard? Are you put off by what you heard? Let us know. Celtic fans, huge night tomorrow as well. It's the perfect time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly in the building, building up to a big game in the Champions League tomorrow, big game in Europa League Thursday, and in many ways a bigger game tonight in the Premiership for David Gray and for Hibs. This is really important for them at home to Aberdeen. We'll turn our attentions to that in a second if you want to get involved. The Crazy Pony has sent a full time teaser in tonight. Can I be honest? You know, I think that's what you expect from me, is just a bit of honesty.
Honesty.
I haven't looked at the question until like 30 seconds ago.
It's not a good one.
It is brilliantly imaginative, right, but brutally hard, seriously hard. And it's going to require a lot from you, Simon Donnelly.
Oh.
How?
The Crazy Pony's imagination's great.
Under pressure straight away.
Under pressure.
I'm worried about how far we get with this, honestly.
Yeah, come on.
I could be wrong. It's just it's not like anything we've ever had before. Are you ready for this?
Give us it.
It's going to blow. It's going to frazzle your brain, Gordon. Okay. Beale. Can you name the 9 English league clubs that were represented by at least 3 2024 Masters players in the throughout
so you
career.
Had to play with 3 clubs.
9 English league clubs.
Right, no, Simon played with Sheffield Wednesday.
I said 9 clubs, right? So even the question's difficult to understand.
9 English league clubs.
So the answers are all clubs.
Right. Sheffield Wednesday, Simon Donnelly.
Let him finish the question.
But the clubs have to have had 3 Masters players, at least 3, playing for them at some point.
Norwich.
Right, so who would that be?
Hooper.
Right.
Dorans.
Right.
Who else played with Norwich? Who played up there? Must be. There's another Norwich, isn't there?
Is Norwich correct?
Yes, it is.
It is. I'm not going to make you painstakingly go through them all.
Right.
Michael McGovern, the goalie.
McGovern!
Yes. And
see, come on, you.
So that's one answer. Norwich City.
Gallagher as well. Who was Gallagher at the Masters again? I've only got surnames. Why is that?
Who's Gallagher?
Goalie.
Oh, Paul Gallagher. So it was. Yeah. So there you are. So Norwich have got 4. So you need a minimum of 3, right? Is this making sense?
Middlesbrough.
Right, show me you're working.
Chris Boyd.
Uh-huh.
Barry Robson.
Well done.
Yeah.
Who's the other one that played with Middlesbrough? Come on.
Middlesbrough. Oh, they were talking about it. Boyd. Mm-hmm.
Boyd.
Who did you say there?
Barry
Robson. They were actually talking about Middlesbrough. Who was the other one?
Barry. Who played with Middlesbrough?
They were talking about their time there. Boyd was sitting, Robson was sitting.
Just round the dressing room.
No, we were sitting in the hotel before it, and Middlesbrough came up as a topic of conversation about their time there.
This guy he's now referred to as father of
Lee Miller.
That's it.
Lee Miller. Sorry, Lee, if you're listening. Right, there we go. Wigan and.
We've never mentioned Wigan.
Sorry, not.
Okay, Wigan. Wigan. Yes. Charlie.
Probably better if you give us the clubs and me try to get
Charlie play with Wigan.
The line I put through it was a bit squinty, so that was the one below it. Oh, I've given you one.
Charlie play with Wigan.
Who else?
Charlie.
Charlie McGrew.
Did he play Wigan?
Yeah.
Charlie McGrew. Now, Cardiff will be there because Craig Courtney.
Forget about that. Just your Wigan working is Mulgrew, McCulloch, Kev McNaughton.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And
Cardiff, Craig Conway. Who else played with Cardiff? I'm trying to think who.
McNaughton.
Right.
And come on, Shad, one more. Think of other players.
They've got 5.
Cardiff.
They've got 5.
Cardiff have got 5.
Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
The Aberdeen must have played with Aberdeen. Fullback.
You said him, McNaughton.
Or did we say
McNaughton?
Him? Well, another,
who was in your team, Sid?
Sid Celtic. Celtic Cardiff. Celtic Cardiff. Hooper? No, he's not.
Ledley. Craig Conway,
I said him.
Gavin Ray. There you go. Right, listen, that's enough. We'll
get
back to it.
How many teams is there? 9.
We'll get back to it because Andy's on the line. How are you, Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good. How are you? What are you thinking?
I was obviously shattered after Saturday, but when I listened to that wee interview you done with that boy, I feel a wee bit more confident after that. I mean, it's obviously us. They're playing well in the league and playing bad in Europe. We're playing bad in the league and playing good in Europe. So it gives me actually a wee bit of confidence that we can maybe go there and get 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long-running thing, hasn't it, Andy, that you know, Rangers have been a bit better in Europe than they have been domestically. But even this season, you know, it's certainly been the best performances, you'd have to say. And I know that the bar's a bit lower this season domestically, but Europe's been all right, hasn't it?
I think so. I think, and that's what's annoying me. Why can't we transfer that into the league games? Why can we play some really good football in Europe and then we go to the league and we cannot play? I've seen the producer. I mean, Rangers players sometime in the league, it's 90 minutes, no 15, 20 minutes. A game of football is 90 minutes. And they can play well for 15, 20 minutes and then they just switch off. So, but in Europe, they seem to have this, I don't know what it is. There's something there that is, so I'm definitely feeling a wee bit more confident.
See, if it was as simple as teams come out and have a go in Europe, that leaves more space, versus teams domestically are going to sit back and Rangers can't break through them. See, if it was that simple, I honestly think every team in Europe should get points deducted if they don't just sit off Rangers then. Because it works. It obviously works. And actually, you know, they would be doing it with what you would think of as better players. Now, I do get there's like a, you know, an ego thing or an expectation. You're a big European team sort of thing. You know, you're at home, it's Europe, you're going to go out and try and beat Rangers. But what is it? Is it that simple?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Is it the pressure of the knowledge domestically? You're trying to claw back that lead that your rivals, I don't know. Are Ibrox, are they incapable of handling the pressure there at times? I don't know. I think they got a positive result in Europe. It's hard to put your finger on it because Rangers will still travel in numbers, will still be pressured to win the game, but they seem to get better results in Europe.
They seem to play better football for me. I don't know what it is. I think the pressure looks like it's lifted off them. Some of their performances have been really good. I know Leon was a different one, but away from home as well, they seem to have a different approach. I was just listening to about the opposition. Look, they're a little bit different. Their league form sounds really, really good and impressive. Rangers, as much as their league form isn't the greatest and the performance isn't the greatest, you flip that to their European, they look better, they look worse. I think we're in for an interesting Thursday night.
Andy, the team, what's the best version at the moment? What would you like to see happen?
Well, I mean, I thought on Saturday, did you know you play two up front? So why don't we play two up front? I mean, because in the first half, Dessers wouldn't get any service. And we were passing the ball square, back the way, no enough moving up front. So I'd just love to see us going a wee bit more directive. I mean, even against the United, I mean, he brought Yil. I mean, I like Yilmaz, but we need a goal. So McCausland's on the bench, so why not bring McCausland on to have a go at him? I just couldn't understand it.
Like we said, Gordon, what are the best options? It feels probably like Danilo's edging towards deserving a start, except he's not in the European squad. Mm. So it will be Cyril Dessers again.
Hadji isn't either.
Hadji's not either.
That's a problem for
him. So what would be interesting?
See, right now, I don't think any Rangers fan could probably sit down and they would all agree if they were in a room and tell you Rangers' best starting 11. I think they're all over the place. I really do. You know, you look at Danilo coming on for Dessers. Dessers comes in for a bit of stick, but he scored a few important goals this season, right? But he comes in for criticism. He's left the captain on the bench. Even when he brings him on, now he's playing him one in front.
Think he'll come back in?
Honestly, I really don't know. I don't know the thinking of this Rangers manager. He gets a clean sheet against Hearts. Now, it wasn't the greatest performance in the second half, and we'll all admit that, and Rangers fans, but it's a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And as a defender and a goalkeeper, at back four, working together with the goalkeeper, they pride themselves in that, and defenders and goalkeepers, I'll tell you that. He makes two changes against Dundee United, and the goal that Dundee United scored, not taking anything away from them, it was schoolboy defending.
He's cleared his head in the ball from a central area 6 yards out.
Yeah, it's school. It looks like a back four that don't really know how to communicate with each other. So, to answer your question, Gordon, I don't know. I don't know what team he's going to pick. I don't think the Rangers fans get over there would be sitting going, right, we're confident. Maybe it's one here. Maybe it's McCausland in the wide area or not. It's not. You could go and pick two or three or four, maybe changes that he could make.
Let's hear from Jack Butland. He thinks the team are still in the title race, but admits they won't be for long if performances do not improve.
people have got to do it. People have got to take the initiative. You know, it's unfair to point fingers and whatever. Just everyone has to just step up. As simple as that. Step up, do your jobs better, track your runners better, get forward better, do everything. It's on everyone. We've had discussions, unfortunately, already so far this season where we felt that we haven't done enough of that in games that we've been beating, even games that we've won, where we feel like we need to have done more. So you can speak about it. You can tell people have got to do it. It's on the individual, ultimately, to push and to make sure that their standards are high enough. And then everything else follows collectively. So there's no one group to blame. We all just have to step up and start doing our jobs better.
Do you still believe you're in a title race?
People might not think that. You won't catch us not thinking that. The reality, we know what it looks like. And we know we need to perform better if we want to be in a title race. By no means are we out of it, but we've given ourselves way too much to do at this point, and we need to start closing that gap, and performances like that aren't going
to
help us.
Thank you to Andy. Let's look at the team news from Easter Road, because this is massive, this game, and quite crucially, not to say that I called it, but we had a wee discussion with Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday last night. I said that getting to that almost disrespectful stage and didn't want to be unfair, but the question asked them, how bad could Hibs' second choice goalie be that he's not had a look in? Because Joseph Bursic is really, really toiling. It seems like every week, big mistakes. You saw that at Dens Park. They have changed the goalie. Finally, taking all this time, Jordan Smith. So it's a big roll of the dice, because the cynic would say if he was any good, he'd have been in before. Yeah, but anyway, Jordan Smith is going to start in goal for Hibs. So that's a big one as they try and get out of this. Lewis Miller, Rocky Bashiri stays in after his mistake at the weekend, Warren O'Hara and Jack Iredale. So there are some changes here. I think four in total by the looks of it. Nectar Triantis and Joe Newell, the deeper lying midfielders. Nil Nicky Cadden will provide the width with Ellie Ewan. Hope he doesn't do any keepy uppies or Marvin Bartley will combust. And Mikola Kukarevic in attack. So four changes for Hibs. As for the Dons, Mitov in goal, Devlin, Rubicic, Malloy, McKenzie at the back, Shinney and Nilsson, the enforcers, Keskinen, Duke and McGrath in behind, Kevin Nisbet, former Hibs man, of course. What are we saying about tonight and how important it is for David Gray?
I think it's important for two clubs, both clubs. I think that Aberdeen, rightly so, have had a lot of plaudits.
When I say important, you know what I mean.
Job defining.
Look,
nothing really changes for Aberdeen tonight.
If David Gray loses tonight, I cannot see him being in the hot seat by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I really can't. I don't want anybody to lose their job.
How many changes have Aberdeen made, just out of interest?
Oh, off the top of my head, you've caught me in the hop. It's a couple.
See, Keskinen's back in, yeah. Duke's back in.
Yeah, still a few there
that
as well.
That would
be
a concern, because I thought they'd left one or two out the weekend. Obviously the manager had his own reasons. A couple were back in, I think, maybe improve Aberdeen. I think it could be problematic.
He can't survive tonight for
Hibs,
loses, can.
I think it could be a problem for Hibs tonight.
Yeah, I know the board come out at the international
three,
break.
It looks like three. So Sockler, Morris and
so Nisbet's back in.
Clarkson would drop out. Yeah.
Yeah, and give him the vote of confidence, and that's great to see. He's a young manager. I like his honesty, right? I think he comes out and he faces the media head on, right? He doesn't shirk his responsibility, but he's got to win games.
Andrew is an Aberdeen fan. Andrew, can you bounce back tonight? Do you expect to bounce back?
Hi there, fan. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. You?
Yeah, I'm very good. Do you know what? It was a big kind of, it was a hard take the other day, but Mirren being Mirren, I think they can kind of, they can upset Andy. Being an Aberdeen fan from Glasgow area, it's kind of hard to get the chat on this station, as you can imagine. I would love to see us bounce back tonight and put a bit of pressure on Celtic. Rangers obviously aren't playing brilliant. They had their chance on Sunday to come back, but you know what? I just wanted to come on.
Yeah, does it feel like a test of that, Andrew? Because people, you will feel this then if you're an Aberdeen fan here. People almost like waiting for Aberdeen to slip up, haven't they? At the start of the season, people were picking holes in the opponents that they had played, and then they went 2-0 down to Celtic, but they passed that test. Then, yep, fine, a real heavy one in the cup to Celtic, so people wondered how they'd respond there, and they did. So this is the first league defeat. Does it feel like a big moment tonight to just try and prove that it was a one-off for now?
Yeah, no, I think it does. The fact that we've been beaten off of a team like St Mirren and Hearts off to them, they were the team that actually gave the second half, whereas Aberdeen have been doing that all season. So hats off to St Mirren. They deserved it in the end. But I think Aberdeen, they just need to bounce back, and they need to take this next game, be it against Hibs. I know they're bottom of the league, but it's a big test. It's still a big team.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, I think because the narrative, if you like to use Hugh's least favourite word, is mainly about Hibs, but you can see where Andrew's coming from. Do you feel like this is a test of Aberdeen's credentials or mentality or whatever word you want to use?
I agree with Andrew. I think that Paisley's always a difficult place to go, especially under the conditions as well. And you look at an Aberdeen team, they weren't going to go continuously every week not losing games. They're not at that stage yet. They've been absolutely brilliant since the start of the season. Now, they took a drubbing off Celtic the following game. They bounced back, and bounced back very well. They lost and probably disappointed at the weekend. They've got a big opportunity tonight, but they'll know coming out that tunnel that if the Hibs players think anything of their manager, they're in for a game tonight. If Hibs don't start the front foot and get Aberdeen and really try and get the crowd behind them, work for a manager, show that they're playing for a manager, then they're in real trouble. But I just think Aberdeen, I think they've got too much quality for me. And you look at their goals, you look at the silly mistakes, they're changing their goalkeepers, they're just going for anything and out to try and get a fix, Hibs. I think Aberdeen have got too many quality players, and I think they'll win the game tonight.
There's a lot of pressure on the new goalkeeper coming in, Simon. It's his first league start, Jordan Smith.
Yeah, there is. It's an opportunity for him. And, you know, it's a big game for both teams. I'm with Daz. I think the game come round quite quickly after St Mirren will benefit Aberdeen. I think they'll want to kind of get back on the horse as quick as possible. I think they've got better players than Hibs. Hibs will be lacking confidence for the sake of their manager. You know, he'll be hoping there'll be no individual, really stupid mistakes tonight, and they play as a team, because that's the only chance they have of a result. I looked at the game at the weekend, and sometimes you can put a team out, kind of legislate for somebody getting sent off, the OG, which maybe a wee bit unfortunate, the mistake with the keeper. So he'll be looking to cut out these individual mistakes tonight, but I think it's a good one for Aberdeen to bounce back after the weekend.
Thank you, Andrew. Enjoy the game. Just about to get underway. Right, you two, this teaser is so imaginative from the Crazy Pony. And if you want to come up with a question to test the pundits, it does not need to be as difficult as this. But this is just the idea, is that you email the question in full time at Clyde1.com, and we test out the pundits between now and the end of the show. So it's, can you name the 9 English league clubs that were represented by at least 3 of the Masters players? You know, the Masters a few weeks ago when Simon Donnelly and Mark Wilson and his pals played. So we're looking for the English clubs that have at least 3 of this year's Masters players having played for them in their history. That sounds quite wordy, but when you hear the examples, you'll get it. So take Cardiff. Craig Conway, Joe Lewis, Joe Ledley, Kev McNaughton, Gavin Ray, they all played at the Masters. That's 5, Cardiff count. Norwich, Graham Dorans, Paul Gallagher, Gary Hooper, Mikey McGovern, they've all played for Norwich. Norwich count. Wigan as well, and Middlesbrough.
Blackburn.
Show me your working.
I'll show you my working. Conway, Mulgrew and Ferguson.
Brilliant. You've got a bit right between your teeth here.
Can I jump in?
Forrest.
Oh, he's away again.
Boyd, Jess and Kelvin Wilson.
No, you're I think your working's off.
What? How's it off?
Is it?
They all played with Nottingham Forest, let me tell you now.
Are you sure?
100%.
Oh. Someone sent you that?
No. Hold on. Jess might have been a coach.
No. Yeah, I don't think Jess has played for.
Jess was,
no, I think you're right, actually. Anyway, Nottingham
Forest. Kelvin Walshen, yeah, and you're right, Chris, you're Boyd, right. Is
my old club on it, Sheffield Wednesday?
So who else would have played for them?
So me, Gary Hooper.
Gallagher, goalkeeper, got to be.
Someone's sending you these.
I swear, God, you can look at my phone.
Did Paul
if
Gallagher play there?
Yes.
He did, but how does he know that Paul Gallagher
plays there? Good tonight,
because I always go goalkeepers, you've got to think about
that. He's surprisingly good at this.
Not sure. Not sure, I have to say.
But that's the correct one.
Yeah, it is. Right, we'll get the other two answers next. Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £500,000 this Black Friday. Tell you what, see if you win the £500,000, buy yourself a new phone cover. Will you? I'm getting sick fed up of looking at that thing on the full time teaser. But anyway, under a month to go, so imagine the fun you could have. Phone Gordon DL up, go for a night out with £500,000 in the Christmas Cash Countdown. It's actually life changing, that. Forget nights out, we're talking seriously life changing money and then some. And that is the incentive. If it's you, the cash will be in your bank within the hour. So make sure you text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get 2 for 1 on your first entry, plus 10 for the price of one if you enter a second time. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close 5 p.m. on Friday. Do not run out of time. Text yes to 61025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and I never thought I'd see the day that to take part in this full-time teaser, you need good knowledge of the Masters. You need good knowledge of that daft tournament where Simon Donnelly, Mark Wilson and all the other old crocs limp around on a big old pitch, blowing out their backsides.
Yeah, they're selling it, are you?
And see who eventually comes out on top. Because the question is this.
It's a good question.
Can you name 9 English league clubs that were represented by at least 3 of the Masters players from this year throughout their career? Sounds quite confusing, but bear with me. So take Cardiff as an example. At the Masters this year, Joe Lewis, Joe Ledley, Kev McNaughton, Gavin Ray and Craig Conway all played. That's 5 from Cardiff. So if you go down the rest, it's either 3, 4 or 5. Norwich have got good representation. Wigan, Blackburn, Middlesbrough, Nottingham Forest. Did you get any during the break?
Yes. We've went down to Derby.
Uh-huh.
Russell Anderson.
Yep.
Carroll the goalkeeper. And Ledley.
Well done. And did you say before the break your old team?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yep. So Simon Donnelly, Myself, Paul Gallagher, Hooper, Gary Hooper,
Gallagher.
One to get. It is the hardest one, you won't be surprised to hear. So we'll get back to that hopefully before the end of the show, because it's a very difficult one. I'm not holding out loads of hope for you, but you never know. You'll get there in the end. If you're as good as you've been with some of these, Gordon DL, then there's every chance. Still Hibs 0, Aberdeen 0. Where are we? But yeah, we're getting into it now, but nothing to tell you about just yet. I was going to say, you know, dish out that old cliche about starting the game well and all that sort of stuff, but Hibs came flying out the traps on Saturday evening.
Yeah,
they were 1-0 up within 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and then it all went spectacularly wrong. So,
senior manager, and you're under pressure like going. And Simon's been in the game, and I've been in the game a long time ago. You depend on your players, and You start that game. That was an important game. You're 1-0 up. You're thinking, this could be a turning point today. This could be a good day for us to kick on and start picking up points. And then you get down to 10 men. And all of a sudden, the game plans out the window. You become under pressure. And from going from that positive 1-0 start, you lose 4-1 and you're taking a drop in. And all of a sudden, the pressure built right back up again.
Even with the keeper. Just before half time, you're 2-1 down. Try and get in, one goal deficit. The keeper, I just don't know what he's doing. And he had the cheek to kind of look at his fullback that rolled it into him, and almost blamed him for the bad touch. But it's individual mistakes, as I said there before the break. They can't afford that anymore.
Well, they have changed the goalkeeper tonight, and whatever happens, we'll look back on it tomorrow. We're actually almost out of time. It was a quick old end to the show. Still no goals to tell you about in that game there at Easter Road. If I get any in the next minute or so, I'll tell you all about it. One more on that teaser then. Bit further down.
I'm going to go for this, right? And if I get this, it's a miracle. I'm going to go with the goalkeeper. Carroll's played with a right few clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play with Notts County?
Who else though?
Kelvin Wilson played with Notts County.
How does he know all this?
Because I know Kelvin. When I went down to
Nottingham, because I know Kelvin Wilson.
I do, and he played for both
Nottingham clubs.
He played with Notts County. Yeah,
right, but who else? You're not getting it unless you can give me the third one.
I've got the third one.
Who?
He's got a famous son now.
Well, we've already covered that clue, haven't we?
Miller.
Lee Miller.
Yeah.
Yes. Well done. Reluctant.
Unbelievable.
Please don't bang the desk when the mics are attached
there's
to the desk.
Somebody in his ear.
I think so. That's quite problematic.
Thanks, Big John.
Anyway, we are... Well, actually, Andrew McLean's looking after you tomorrow, but Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans, what a combo for a big Champions League night. They're back tomorrow from 6. Enjoy your Tuesday night, and the guys will see you here tomorrow.